It's 4:00.
We will call the meeting to order. We have a roll call, please.
Steele.
Here.
Wendt.
Here.
Couser.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Miller.
Yes.
Cable.
Yes.
Smith. Absent.
All right. Do we have any changes or additions to the agenda? Not yet. Let's, if there are no changes or additions, then the agenda will stand approved. Any changes or additions to the minutes from May 6th? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved. We now have a time for public comment. For members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Planning Commission tonight. Anyone? Looks like we have none. So we will go on to new business. Conditional use permit 01-15, Buell conditional use permit request.
Good afternoon.
Beth, go ahead.
Again, this is regarding CUP 01 of 2015, technically our first, but also our second conditional use permit we've seen this year. Under a property under the ownership of the Peary Elwin Laverne Testamentary Trust, property in the northwest quarter of the northwest quarter, section 5 of New Albany Township. It's approximately 3/4 mile north of Colo. A1 agricultural zoning, classified as agricultural for property assessment purposes, as the property's current open space with some agricultural crop ground production. Cooperative planning area tier 2 in the east half of the property, to 1/3 of the property's natural resources areas, but the proposed communications tower will not be located in that natural resource area. Here you can see a surrounding property owner map that was mailed to all surrounding property owners within a 1/4 mile of the subject property, which is highlighted there in red. Just south of the map is City of Colo. You can look at it closer if you want later on. The request is for a conditional use permit to construct a 150-foot tall monopole communications tower with 12 proposed antennas. There will also be an 11.6-foot by 29.5-foot equipment shelter, as well as a 50-kilowatt generator and a 1,000-gallon propane tank, all located within a 75-by-75 leased area. The proposed tower will be erected, owned, and managed by Verizon Wireless and or their assigns. Communications and towers and facilities are considered a conditional use in A1 agricultural zoning district, subject to supplemental standards. And all conditional use permits are approved or denied by the Board of Adjustment after recommendation by you all, as you well know. All of our standards are standards of approval for conditional use permits. Looking at those specifically, staff has our analysis noted the following, that the proposed use is surrounded by agricultural land, and that is not necessarily incompatible with an immovable structure such as this that will receive only maintenance traffic on an occasional basis. The additional setback requirements required through supplemental standards also help to achieve adequate buffering with regards to the transition standard. As with most, if not every, communications tower, there are no concerns of the proposed development's conformance to traffic, parking, loading, signs, lighting, or environmental protection. The application materials provided by the applicant confirm this. Most communication towers within unincorporated areas of Story County are located in the A1 Agricultural Zoning District, as is this. Then we have these five standards that we also look at with all conditional use permits. Staff noted the following two things, that the supplemental standards for communications towers, which we'll get to in a minute, generally help to ensure that development does not negatively impact those standards. The application mentions that the Telecommunications Act of 1996 exempts communication towers from discussion of potential health risks. It is unclear to staff what portion of the act exempts the applicant from this requirement, simply because we're not all that familiar with the act, or why previous applicants for these conditional use permits have not invoked said act. There are 10 supplemental standards, which were outlined in the staff report, provided to you all. From that, we have several notes regarding our analysis. First is that the applicant provided a map showing no communication towers within a mile radius of the proposed location, and provides some context stating that the search ring focused on the area immediately north of downtown Colo, essentially saying that that's where they would like to place a tower, and there were no towers within that search area. The applicant did contact Central Iowa Water Association regarding the water tower northeast of Colo, but AT&T has already occupied that tower. The applicant stated that opportunities for co-locations were sought out as part of the site acquisition process, but there were no towers, again, within that one-mile search area. Letters B and D, which specifically pertain to required setbacks specific to communications towers, they weren't explicitly addressed in the application narrative. However, staff was able to determine from construction plans that B and D are satisfied. The applicant has provided, again, with that site acquisition request form, stating that the 150-foot tower is the minimum height required to offload the Colo Alpha site. Staff does note that the height of the tower is similar to other towers approved by the county in the recent past. The 75 by 75 leased area is proposed to be enclosed by a 6-foot fence with barbed wire. This meets both the fencing requirements and screening requirements of supplemental standards in the ordinance. The tower is proposed to be constructed of galvanized steel, will only have signage, which is required by the FCC, and only will include two porch-type lights, which will be located on the front and back of the proposed equipment shelter. Our burden of persuasion language, notification letters, as well as publications were provided as required by our ordinance and Code of Iowa requirements. We received no comments. Did receive a couple months back just questions from a surrounding property owner, generally just trying to identify what the project was about. Once the information was provided to them, their concerns were assuaged. The application also did go underwent our normal interagency review, and there were no comments or concerns provided through that process. So based on that information provided in the application and additional documentation that has been submitted since the original submittal, staff recommends that the Planning and Zoning Commission recommend approval of case CUP 01 of 15 to the Story County Board of Adjustment. So with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at this time.
Any questions for the staff? Okay. Would you like to speak in support of the application? Please state your name and address.
My name is Eddie Jewell, and I'm here on behalf of Jewell Consulting for Verizon Wireless. Our office is located in St. Paul, Minnesota. First of all, I want to thank the staff for helping me work through this application process and kind of let me know what additional materials were required. I also want to address the response to the health issue regarding the Telecommunications Act. That was my error in reading the question. Verizon adheres to regulations regulated by the FCC to maintain their license spectrum, so they follow the health emissions controlled by the FCC, so they're very compliant to the emissions regulation. The Telecommunications Act simply states that an application can't be denied due to the possibility of health risks. So that was my misinterpretation of the question being asked. I think staff covered our proposal very fully. We're speaking to offload a current site to help increase the 4G data that everyone uses on their phones nowadays. We tried to co-locate on a water tower. Unfortunately, it was already taken. We always try to co-locate on existing structures. This new tower is designed to provide additional space for more carriers should they have to place a fence in the area. The tower is already structurally compatible for additional equipment, and we have procured enough ground space at the bottom for future equipment shelters. If you guys have any lingering questions, I'd be happy to address them.
Any questions for the applicant?
No, but I commend you on forward thinking and making sure that there's space for two more.
Yes.
I mean, you know, others might not do that.
Right. Yes.
So.
Why can't more than one company fit on top of a water tower?
It has it to do with their parents being a certain distance. Oh.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any additional, well, I should ask, anyone from the public want to speak? No one else is here? We'll assume not. And there were no public comments other than a few questions, or no comments submitted rather than just a few questions. Okay. If you have any other questions for the staff, now's the time. I would ask the staff, do you take note of things like what the applicant just stated about there is room for two other carriers on this tower? Do you try to keep a running inventory on these towers of how much space is available?
No, but that would be a good idea. It'll be in the minutes, and I suppose.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if there's an easier way in the future rather than digging through old minutes. I mean, that's kind of nice to know because my guess is that not every carrier is going to be completely forthright about whose door they knocked on.
And as Ryan said, we keep records of all this stuff. The application materials and everything will be kept in our digital records. What little bit of knowledge I have from the cell company developer side of things seems to be that their options, first and foremost, are always to co-locate rather than build a new tower just because it's more cost-effective to co-locate than, you know, lease the ground and purchase all that and put the new tower up. So I guess I have full faith that any cell phone company is going to first and foremost try to co-locate on a structure when they can. But
That wasn't always the case, though, right? At one point, the existence of the tower offered a competitive advantage. And
I almost want to look back at the applicant here to see if he wants to provide any more information on that. I guess I don't know. But since I can recall, any application that we've always seen does state that they always try to co-locate first and foremost, and I guess taking them for their word on it.
And then would we see an application for a co-location?
Yes. So it depends. The way our ordinance is written, there's two processes that we review co-locations on. Co-locations are always at least done with a zoning permit, and there's some instances where it does require you to modify the conditional use permit. It depends on the year, and I think the cutoff is 2001, and I don't remember what the significance is to that date right off the top of my head. But, yeah, they always require a zoning permit because any co-location always does bring an equipment shelter with it as well, and we're really looking at that equipment shelter to make sure that the setbacks are met within that equipment shelter and it's kept within the same compound of the original conditional use permit.
So 3 years from now, somebody who wants to build a tower in the same area can't say to you, well, those spots were filled up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you would know
unless, those unless somehow it got done without our approval, but we get we're running through times right now where a lot of cell phone companies are updating their equipment just to modernize their equipment and doing what they call antenna swap outs, and we are constantly probably 2 to 3 times a week getting phone calls from cell companies asking if we have a process they need to go through to do that antenna swap out. So we're usually getting some pretty good information from them, and most companies require that the county, if we don't require any permitting for those swap outs, that the county give them some sort of documentation that states that we don't require that. So,
okay.
Yeah, cell companies seem to do their due diligence on every little piece of possible zoning action that is needed. So,
good thing.
Other questions for the staff or the applicant? Can you just clarify for me which of these
number two
letters were not provided, and are they, I'm a little confused, are they actually letters that the applicant was supposed to provide, or they refer to a paragraph letter in the submittal requirements?
Yeah, we have A through J of the supplemental standards, so in B B and D at the time. You know, usually we try and encourage an applicant to come forward and address each one of these explicitly in a narrative, say, you know, this is how said application meets this. Theirs was not really organized in that way, so we kind of had to go to the construction drawings to and do our own analysis, you know, to determine that those standards were met. So B, just separate, it's titled separation from planned and or existing residential properties, so, you know, setback requirements for that.
So you're comfortable that those were met in the application, even though it was not explicit?
Yeah, that's okay. That's what I was trying to say through that.
I just want to make sure that people are satisfying your requirements and, yeah.
Yep.
Not making you dig for things that you shouldn't have to dig for, but if this was fairly easy to determine. Okay. Any other questions? All right, we will entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve item number, alternative number two, which is recommending full approval of the conditional use permit. Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Couser, a second by Donaldson. Roll call vote, please.
Couser?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Donaldson?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Wendt?
Yes.
Cable?
Yes.
Great, thank you.
Did you drive all the way from St. Paul today?
Yes, I did.
Ooh, you got to drive home tonight?
Yeah.
Well, at least it's a nice day.
Exactly. Yeah, right up in the Twin Cities, so I have sunshine.
Safe travel. All right. We're on to number seven. Does the staff have any additional comments?
Yeah, a few things. As you know, we are well underway with the C2C plan. I'm hoping, I think all of you would have got the email from me regarding the survey, and hopefully everybody's looked at that, taken it, and at least made some other friends, neighbors, shared it with them and passed it on. Last time I had checked, we had nearly, I think, a little over 400 responses on that.
You're kidding.
Since it's been out for a little bit. So that's exceeded my expectations by a lot.
Really?
And we're only in our first week of this thing being out live. So, yeah, I was, Aaron will probably tell you this, and Ryan will tell you this in some of our meetings that we have. I've been very hesitant to say that we are going to get a good response on it, but it has turned out to be pretty good so far. So, 'cause we were talking contingency plans if we got into this thing about a month and didn't have a good response rate. So.
One of the things that I did is I put it on my Facebook page, you know, and said, please share and do it and go to it. So y'all might want to think about doing that, too.
I would have been happy with 50 at this point. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but there's a lot more to it.
So the good thing with the survey is we reached out to a lot of social media sites throughout the county. You know, the government sites for all the cities, library sites and stuff like that, ask them to share it. They've done it. Because of that, I think other people started sharing, and it just kind of goes viral, as they'll talk in the internet world. Surrey County Conservation also shared it on their site. They have a lot of followers on that, and then also put it on other people's sites as well, too, to get out there. So, you know, it's safe to say that we've had 50 to 100 different Facebook sites talking about this thing, which is really good, and I think that's helping big time on getting the word out. So it's a short survey. I think some of the complaints we have been getting in on the survey have been it's just a little bit too long for some people. I don't think it's that long personally, and I think it does get to the point. We have had a few comments on not asking the right questions in a few areas. For example, we had some natural resource stuff on that somebody was upset that we didn't discuss prairie lands about, so we did add that in kind of halfway through last week. So we'll see what we get on a response on that. But the next Citizens Task Force meeting is Thursday, June 11th. That's at 5:30 in this room. We did have our first Citizens Task Force meeting. Pretty much did the same exercise that the Planning and Zoning Commission did last month, just with a bigger group. So that turned out really well, and I think the consultants got a lot of good feedback through that process. We also have all our community input meetings scheduled already. Those are going to happen within the next 2 to 3 weeks. They're going to happen Thursday, June 18th in Huxley, Tuesday, June 23rd in Colo, Thursday, June 25th in Ames, and Tuesday, June 30th in Story City. I don't know the exact locations. If you want that information, I can get it to you, but those all start at 6 o'clock.
Can you drop that schedule into an email and just send it to us?
To the commission?
Yeah.
I can definitely do that. I have all the addresses and locations. I sure wrote those down here, but I can't really remember where they all are off the top of my head. So.
Yeah, is that on the blog?
I don't know. It should be on the C2C website.
Okay.
I can look on that real quick, but I'm not 100% sure.
Is that something that needs to be shared via social media, too?
Yeah, we'll get that information out. I'm confident that Leanne will be putting that out on our Facebook page here sooner than later, hopefully. So the website for the project, as you can see up here, it's just simply www.c2cplan.com. We were very fortunate to get a pretty easy URL on that, but the survey is stuck to the top of this page while it's live. So any updates that are added to this page are all going to be done underneath the survey. So the survey is going to be the first thing you see when you get to this site. Anybody you want to put or give this site information to, that's the first thing they'll see. Again, I'm looking here to see if those dates are on there, and I don't see them on there, but that's something we can definitely do. All our project team meeting slideshows are on here. Same thing with the Citizens Task Force. That slideshow is all on there. So all the information that is being presented at all the meetings we've had so far is on this site. So well underway on it, and I think we're making really good progress. The really good thing so far is we have stayed on schedule to date, which is really hard to do when you get into these things. So we're really trying to make sure we stick to the schedule, and we're doing a good job. So two other things I'll add, should be a lot shorter. The bedding field CUP was approved. That was for the kennel just south of Highway 30, the one that you reviewed last month. That was approved by the Board of Adjustment at their last meeting. And then last month we also did talk about the county master matrix review team. I have talked with Nancy Kauser about that, and I think you have tentatively accepted that. Were we waiting to hear back from the DNR?
Yeah, I did talk to legal counsel, and they didn't see an issue with it as long as I wasn't getting money for it, and I'm guessing not.
We would love to be able to pay you.
However, my term's up the end of this year, and I probably will not stay on planning and zoning. So
okay.
That was my understanding, was they wanted somebody from.
Yeah, we'll have to. I'll have to talk about that. I know that came up, and I don't remember what we discussed on that, but we can talk about that a little bit further. We'll at least keep you on through the end of this year, and then take it from there. But to give the board, I guess, some feedback, and maybe you can assist me here. You sit on the state's what's the committee called?
Environmental Protection Commission over the Department of Natural Resources.
And they're responsible for
here contested cases when the county disagrees with the master matrix scoring and they want to go to the next level. So the county supervisors would come before me.
Yeah. So if Story County was to ever appeal the DNR's decision and you sat on a committee that recommended to the Board of Supervisors, that was where we were afraid there might be a conflict of interest in there. But I know we discussed it with the Story County Board of Supervisors, and I think they touched base with the attorney's office, and there did not seem to be an issue there. And you've talked to the DNR, and there doesn't seem to be an issue. So I will let everybody know that we are okay with your appointment, and I will let them know, too, that you don't plan on being reappointed, and we'll see what they want to do with that. That is all I have.
Great. Okay. Any commission comments?
I drove home from Hardin County today and went around Dakin's Lake and up by Zering. If you haven't seen that yet, it is really, really impressive. It's worth driving up there just to look at. Huge improvements. That little town has to be thrilled with that. What an asset. That's my two cents.
Great. Thank you. Any other comments?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Stand adjourned.